Hey, Freedom Family, welcome to the Unlock Your Freedom podcast. My name is Kira Miller. I am the founder and host of this series. Every other week, we'll bring you some of the most life-giving conversations that will empower you to overcome your shame, own your truth, and unlock your freedom. Thank you for joining this conversation today. Now let your freedom journey begin. Hey, Freedom Family, welcome back to the Unlock Your Freedom podcast. My name is Kira Miller, and I am the founder and host of this series. Today's guest, we had my good friend, Lindsay Blaze, who is the creative director for Dr. Motley, a doctor that I see every month. And she talked a lot today about being single and the shame within that, but also how in the last like 2 weeks of her life, God has actually really been redefining who she is as a person. And she's realizing that she doesn't need that anymore in her life to feel whole and to be happy. And she doesn't have to be perfect in order to go into a relationship anymore. So that totally relates to my own story because I've been single for a really long time. And it's just cool to hear this from someone else because no one really talks about this. And so I'm just super stoked to share this one with you today. And if you really feel the shame of that in your life, but you desire freedom from that, I really believe that she's going to help you with that. So I'm stoked to share this one with you today. Here we go. All right. So who was Lindsay Blaze in the beginning of your journey with shame?
Well, so the beginning of the journey with shame.
Take me back.
So I think dating, kind of where I would say I started to feel shameful because of decisions probably as I was dating. So from 16 on, I was either breaking up or getting into a relationship.
Okay.
All up until the age of 24.
Okay.
So that's a
so
pretty
constantly
big.
Constantly in relationships.
Constantly in that. Yeah. And prior to that, growing up, there was a lot about perfection.
Okay.
Different things happened. I was a figure skater, which is a very demanding sport. Yes. And in that striving to be perfect, but I was not great at handling that pressure. Yeah. And so take that and put it into relationships, and I've got to be perfect in this. And it wasn't necessarily perfect for them. It was perfect for myself. Mm-hmm. And when something would go wrong, it was, that's my fault. I've done something, and I would get really hard on myself. And so there was a lot of shame then, too, in trying to perform even in that.
Yeah.
So that was kind of where I would say this whole thing began.
Just super self-critical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I think, because we're going to talk about being single now, it's very interesting to look at how that transitioned from relationships to a very long single season that I'm now in.
Yeah, wait, talk about that because most people, I feel like they either stay in – well, yeah, no, they stay in whatever that is. So they, like, stay dating people constantly.
Sure.
Which is probably not the most healthy thing in the world.
No, because if you don't take deep breaths, I think, in between and actually figure out where you're at, how you grew, what broke you, what changed you, what seemed right, what went wrong, I think you get really lost.
Yeah.
And so for me at 24, I kind of ended the last relationship that was the hardest one I had ever been in. A lot of just dark things. Probably if you saw me at 24 compared to now, you'd be like, I don't even know who you are, girl, which is wild.
That's the coolest thing every time.
The transformation aspect is beautiful. But I just decided then, what would it look like to kind of heal? What do I need for that? And along in that time, I had been to 28 countries. I had seen literally everything you can imagine from leprosy to orphans to, you know, the widow, just every hard thing out in all over the world and like just needed a hard pause. And so I took a year. I lived at home in Connecticut, and I literally turned off every social media that I had.
For
I changed
a whole
my phone
year?
Number. I deleted Facebook.
What?
I got rid of my email. Like, you couldn't find me unless I wanted to be found by you.
Dang.
And just kind of went into a hole and said, let me begin to adjust here.
Yeah,
and I don't know that I dealt with shame in that, actually.
Okay.
I think I dealt with, like, the pain of relationships going wrong, but I don't think I was able to call it shame.
Okay.
So that's interesting, because here I am, like, figuring this out as we're sitting here.
I know.
Here
hey,
a little
that's
bit.
Sometimes that's the best part of my
podcast. Yeah, yeah. But in that time, I really did go back and at least try to pray the cleansing prayers over different things, that had happened, over every relationship that I had been, even if I had just, like, held somebody's hand.
Yeah.
It was, like, that simple of, Lord, I really want that to be clean.
Totally.
But again, I don't think I connected the shame piece. And so now, 24, I step into this time of being single.
Yeah.
And at 25, a word came, the prophetic, which if you know about the prophetic, dates and mates are a hard no. Just it's not fair to anybody involved.
Yeah.
But that was kind of the opposite of my experience. And it wasn't just one person. It was 20 different people surrounding me. And
that's hard.
It was, this is the guy,
yeah,
and this is going to be the marriage. And so I go from crazy relationships to trying to heal all of that to now I'm going to wait for this ultimate guy in this marriage. And for 5 years, just went all out for it.
Like, did you start chasing it?
I did.
Okay. Or him, I guess.
I guess him, but it was like, what does it look like now to become the marriage, this woman that will be in this marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
And met him multiple times. Wonderful guy. But by 30, kind of began to pull myself out of it. Something happened that really, really shook the belief. And he is this gentleman is now engaged, getting married, super stoked. But really good stuff. But coming out of all of that after 5 years, I didn't even take kind of the deep breath then again too, of just like, what just happened?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, oh, I'm good. Like, you know, I've been single for 5 years.
Yeah.
So, like, let's do this thing. And kind of started to try to date and navigate. And once you turn 30, the dating world gets real interesting.
Yeah. How come?
I think the pool is small.
Yeah.
I think there's some non-negotiables about yourself that you might not have known early 20s or mid, kind of the late 20s. I feel like there's some things that begin to kick. But you're just not willing to settle.
Yes.
You're like, I've waited 30 years. Like, I'm not. So
the best, the best.
Yeah. Almost sometimes maybe like
too much
perfection there on that. But, so just started to try again and kept like hitting the wall every single time of either, they're not healed or they're not ready or whatever was going on with them or what's going on with me.
Yeah.
But then, too, you're watching everybody else get it. So best friends, getting engaged, getting married, buying houses, getting pregnant.
Yep.
And you're just like, okay, is there now something wrong with me, actually, that this isn't happening? So it's just recently that I have come to this place of, like,
peace,
there's some shame. Not peace.
Yeah,
I'm working on my
peace,
but there's some shame in being single right now. And I think it's the pain that I feel over it. That's what feels shameful of, like, I have this beautiful life. I have an incredible job. I have wonderful people.
So why am I sad?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. And why? And like, is it okay to be sad?
Yeah.
Is it okay to share that there's like a really broken heart inside? And so and now too I can say, looking back, there's shame even in relationships then.
Yeah.
because of decisions being made. So it's really interesting how shame kind of can stay.
Yeah, oh, totally.
And even in different seasons. Yeah. But
like even, so you're saying when you were in those constant relationships, it's sort of the same shame trigger that's staying in there right now?
Yeah. I think because you're like shame comes from within yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like people can say things that hurt, yes, but like
you take it and you start telling yourself
It's how you're viewing yourself. Mm-hmm. So the woundings that come from broken relationships or seasons of being single, and you're like, is there something wrong with me? Because everything can feel that way when it's happening for what feels like everybody else.
Yeah.
You're putting it on yourself. And so
that's kind of the voice in your head is like, what is wrong with me? Or is there something wrong with
me? Yeah, for sure. I think then and now.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So when was this all like exposed to you though?
So
best moment in the worst at the same time. Yes. Every time.
all right. So recently I made a very big life altering decision at 32 and got a puppy.
Yeah.
An 8-week old puppy. She's now 14 weeks. And I have heard plenty that when you bring a pet into your world, they will expose everything that is wrong with you, right?
That's crazy.
So to back up just for one sec before the puppy, my life literally was get up at the crack of dawn, get myself ready, get to my job, which I work for a doctor that is doing pretty well.
Yeah.
We do a lot creatively and we see a lot of people.
Chaotic life.
Very chaotic.
Yeah.
But no responsibility other than show up, do the job. So evenings, weekends, and I'm just kind of in my little world of whatever. All the while, there's a lot of pain going on inside, but I'm not sharing it with anybody, really.
Yep. So you're pretty isolated.
Yeah, pretty isolated. I mean, I'm cheering everybody. I'm an Enneagram 7, so you celebrate life for everyone.
Yeah.
But that was just kind of the norm. Mm-hmm. Is get up the next day, do the next cool thing creatively. We've been, you know, on trips, this and that.
Yeah.
But, like, really not owning what's really going on inside and probably not fully aware. So enter Blue, my boxer bulldog. Her eyes are blue. That's why I named
her
Blue. There's you're my girl, Blue. There's a whole thing with that. But and now my perfect little world and operating self is completely flipped upside down. Like my mom even said to me, girl, you've been looking rough lately. Like I'm dealing with like a newborn. Like this is where I'm at, right? Like,
totally.
This is really where I'm at. But everything now gears to, is she okay? What does she need? Where does she need to be? Where am I? And it's
absolutely.
This whole, and again, I said this earlier, but I know why people do this when there's two people involved. It's real hard. It is really hard to do as a single. So
yeah, I'm probably not going to do it myself.
You should think about it. Let's think about it.
Okay, maybe I should. You're going to wreck me in this conversation.
I will help you.
But I'll be open-minded to the wrecking.
I'll go with you to get the puppy.
Okay.
So for 4 weeks, like, she's up on the couch. She doesn't sleep in my bed the whole night. But, she'll come in and cuddle a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, the going the potty thing, like, we're in a pretty good rhythm of her going outside. So one night, she gets in my bed and she literally pees like in my bed. And we had been outside, I'm not kidding you, 5 minutes earlier. And I'm just sitting there like, and if you know my bed, there is a huge picture of a lion and there is like twinkly stars that I sleep under and there are curtains that like wave in the wind as the fan blows.
What,
like, it's like a space, right? Yeah. And this dog has just like
ruined
done this
your
thing
space.
In my space. I'm like, you're so lucky. Nobody gets to be in here.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta get yourself straight.
What is forlorn?
Forlorn is my life is never going to change. It's always going to be this way. I'm going to watch it for everybody else.
You're going to stay stuck.
I'm going to stay stuck. And dang. So it was like if you took a needle to a balloon, psh, went the eyes, and boom, went the tears.
Dude, I get it.
Because mm-hmm. there it was, yeah. this shamefulness of being single, mm-hmm. This abandonment in it, this forlorn, this love unreceived.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
And it is, and you feel like, you're like, God is none of those things, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But you're like, that's what I actually think yeah. about you, about mm-hmm. me, about
everything,
it all. And
it's
that's
the lens you see everything through.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. there's shame. Yeah. There's, it's all like, cause it's like, can I even bring, I don't even know how to open up to begin to bring this to God. So
yeah,
God would use this little tiny 14 pounder to the place that is, my bed is beautiful.
Yeah.
But it is a place of a lot of tears that have happened through these years. So far back to 25 even.
Yeah.
Just when is it going to happen? When will it be my turn? Mm-hmm. A lot of tears in that space.
Yeah.
And when someone soils something, right, when someone pees in the bed,
yeah.
child, you literally have to strip it down yeah. to the bottom to mm-hmm. clean it. And I just felt like there was an invitation to be like, let's once and for all, like, let's go for it. Let's go all the way to the bottom and clean yeah. this thing
ooh,
out.
Dang.
And so the abandonment piece for me was... Lord, for 5 years, like, I believed something, and it wasn't mm-hmm. about this guy.
Yeah.
It was about marriage.
Oh, totally.
Like, I believe with my whole heart that this was going to happen.
Yeah. And by that certain time.
And by a time, yeah. Like, there would be, you know, within just a few, I thought months, actually. Like,
well, it was your 30th birthday, right?
It was by the time I pulled out of it, but it was 25 when it started. So, like, fighter girl, you have loyalty
gosh.
All day. Wing into that six.
Yes.
But it was like, Lord, if it wasn't what you had with him, why didn't you stop it?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you
oh,
do something
sure.
to intervene? And if I raise my level of faith to believe that I could be married, you didn't
mm-hmm.
you didn't do anything.
Right.
So how could I ever raise my faith there yep. again?
Mm-hmm.
And yet wanting it so bad, yet so I'm so
but
afraid
so
to
angry
believe.
Too.
And oh, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's mm-hmm. every emotion you can imagine.
Yeah.
And you know, we all know them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the forlorn piece, of course, is just it'll never change.
Yeah.
Every days get turned into weeks, turned into months, turned into years.
Yeah.
And then the love unreceived is again that like anybody that I've actually thought, hey,
mm-hmm.
this could be good.
Yes. Yeah.
This might work. They weren't it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's the token like, hey, it's God protecting. And I think we see that in hindsight always,
right.
or, he has something better or, you know, all of that, but it doesn't take away
the pain,
what's hurting. And yet then too, you feel like, well, why can't I just get there? And there's
right.
a shamefulness even in that. So it's just,
right.
It's a wild conundrum.
Cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we're, like we sit in.
Yeah.
But
would you say that there's power in having that awareness now? Because
yeah, I think so.
I think the biggest thing for me, 2 years when I was going to 2 years ago when I was going to therapy, I was in there for like sort of family healing, I guess. But the strongest thing that the therapist said to me, and I'll never forget this, the exact words that she said, Kira, it looks like you've lived a very lonely life.
Oof.
And
ooh.
You know how, like, sometimes people yeah. just say something that, like, you're ready to hear it at that time and it just absolutely stabs you in the heart, but, like, it's what you needed
yeah.
to hear?
Yeah.
That's exactly what that was for me.
Wow.
And, I mean, people, I've known that about myself. Like, I'm pretty self-aware, so I knew that. But the
yeah.
fact that someone else saw that in me and was like, that's your biggest struggle.
Yeah.
I was like, holy heck.
Yeah.
But, and I mean, I bawled. I think you were saying too, like after the three things that the person said
yeah.
to you, you were bawling.
You're
and
wrecked.
Yeah. But I think what the beauty of it was is I had awareness after that. Like, I struggle so much with wanting to be alone and like
yeah.
basically because I don't want to trust other people with my feelings or with even like work stuff. Like,
sure.
I don't want to trust people and
sure.
I have a hard time trusting myself within that too. So, having the awareness of, Kira, this is something that you're going to struggle with for a while, now allows me to remember, well, you need to do the opposite of that. Like, yeah. you need to go out, and when you feel really hurt, you need to reach out to somebody and say, like, hey, I'm feeling this way right now, and I need to invite you into that space with me to help me to heal.
Yeah.
And, like, have someone hold me while I'm crying, for example.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Would you say that it's brought you a ton of awareness?
I do. I think now in knowing this, like, it's time to break patterns, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at things, even with this dog again, like, going, I know she should be here, she should be sitting
right, I know, here. I don't know why you, like, didn't bring her.
Yeah, she can't handle this. this would be too much. we'll get there. But I with her, it's like I keep looking for the next thing to go wrong.
Okay.
Like, what's gonna happen next?
Yeah.
Who's she gonna, you know, bite because she's teething, or like,
yeah.
where's she gonna pee, or like,
yeah, yeah.
you know what? And it's like, no, that's actually me looking at myself. Like, I'm looking for the next thing you're gonna do wrong. And so,
that's good.
And being aware of that, it now will help in the abandonment piece, mm-hmm. of like, no, like, you don't have to sit believing that if you take a step this way or take a step that way, like, you're just going to be left there.
Yeah.
There will be another step in front of, right?
Yeah.
And life is always changing.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like,
you
compartmentalize, like, my life will change in all these ways, but this one, right? But it's like, how do you pull that apart even too? And those are the things I'm asking myself right now.
And you were talking about redefining who you are, right?
Yes. Okay. So another cool part to this whole thing was before kind of coming into that, the three things with that dear friend, the week before I was down in Florida, but I was sitting in church Sunday and pastor was speaking about the wounds that we have, mm-hmm. and how what would it look like to actually, like, open the wound up and use it as a weapon as opposed to holding it as the wound. He's like, I don't know what you're dealing with God. It could be abandonment, it could be this, it could be that, and mm-hmm. for me it was like, light went on, 5 years left out to dry, 100% feel abandoned. And so I went into that week in Florida, like, my biggest prayer is I just want to be redefined to myself.
Okay.
And I feel like my heart got position to then be able to walk into this emotional session of work.
Oh, totally.
To where now, like, the true healing can begin. Some days have looked like just tears, and I'm, for the first time in my life, I'm not trying to hide. I'm just like, this is like where I'm at today. And whoever walks in, which I see a lot of people every day, I'm like, this is where I am.
Yeah. I do feel like, and I don't know if it's just me, but I do feel like you're really good at that with people. Like, at least now when they walk into the office, it seems like you're pretty real with people.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
And maybe those people aren't, like, that close to you, but it's just, I think, training yourself to be open and be you wherever you are.
And not be perfect.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need me to not share where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've never had a problem sharing with you.
Yeah, yeah.
But, same but like, what does that do? And so I think that's back to that whole use it as the weapon.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea, me sharing where I'm at today, what that could do for your life, or what it could mean, or what you doing the same for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can pick up pockets of each other's story and apply them. And so that worked for her. That was, like, really
cool.
Uh-huh.
For me,
and, like,
too.
That's just encouragement to me of, like, hey, something will switch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that piece of telling your story, being willing to go there. And I think singleness is hard for anyone, because you don't want to complain, you're not settling. So it's like, if I'm, like, being this tough about waiting for this thing, yet I'm hurting so bad, like, how do I even? And yet there's so much freedom and just being like, dude, it sucks right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 32 and I know I'm only 32, and people say, oh, you're just 32. But it's like, but this thing is, like, burning inside, and that could be for anything with anyone.
And it's been burning inside for a while, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it has.
For, like, well, I mean, before you were 25, but.
Oh, I thought I was going to get married at 18.
Whoa.
Just as, like.
Okay. So a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I will say this, too, I'm not upset about the way I've gotten to do some really cool things.
Yeah, you have.
20s are awesome.
Yeah.
But it's now you're on the other side of it, and you're just like, I really want to start this part.
Totally.
Now too. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, and part of one of the things I'm redefining and asking God to help me with is, how do I align to like where you have me and what you have, as opposed to what I think I should have.
Okay. Right. Yep. It's dropping the expectation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of like, this is what needs to happen next.
Totally.
Right. So, and the dog's helping me with that too.
Yeah.
She just disrupts like any plan that I have.
Yeah, yeah.
Truly.
So you can't really have expectations.
No. Like, I was late getting here. I was late getting here because like she got to go to the dog park and like I have to, but.
Yeah. And you just have to like own that, you know? Yeah. So it's dang. Well, what would you say maybe is like, I don't know, like who has been holding you up during this time the most?
So
between your dog and whoever else.
Yeah, the dog.
Yeah.
I've got a great circle of friends. Who two of them I lived with in this last 2 years.
Okay.
And their kitchen table like literally caught tears for months on end as the three of us sat around. They're a married couple.
Yeah.
And I have a family that is just all in. I have a best friend who lived through those 5 years with me and knows like all that that was.
Yep.
Who is just like, I pray every day. Like you don't even know. And it was cool. My dad recently said to me as I was sharing kind of all of that's going on, he's like, I wish we could all get to where you are actually and be like, Lord, I'm angry. Lord, I this is like where I am because it would create freedom. He's like, everybody holds back from each other out of like, we don't want to put more on.
Right.
But what if we could get to that place? And so I know there's a lot being used and they're all there ready to catch the next thing.
Yeah.
And they're kind in that way and they're gentle and sometimes they're tough. Just like, hey, you don't get to believe like that.
Yeah.
Dear, it's okay to feel what you need to feel, but like
that's a lie.
God is lying. God is good. God's for you.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've also really been privileged to listen in on some gals that it happened for later, their marriages.
Okay.
And probably one thing that is super encouraging for these ones that are getting married in their 30s, later 30s, it's like you've waited for it so long that there's such a deep appreciation in a very, very, very special way that you might not be aware of earlier in your 20s, you know, and not to discount anyone, but there is just this difference in where life is at and all of that, where there's this deep gratitude. So those are things that, like, you look for.
You hold on to.
Yeah, for sure. And you just receive the stories.
Oh, totally.
And yeah, if that one got married at 32, that might not mean that's mine, but you celebrate theirs and you let your faith rise. And that's my deep work right now, is just, like, allowing it to rise and not be afraid that if it does, I'm going to be left out to dry again.
Yeah.
So.
And do you not fear like hoping anymore or fear faith anymore almost?
I think I don't fear it.
Okay.
I think it's a day by day right now.
Because I'm really good at getting, well, really good / bad, I guess, at getting hopeful and then telling myself, oh, well, it's actually not going to happen. Yeah. So I'm just going to like pretend like it's not going to happen essentially. So I'll like have an initial hope for something. And then I'll kind of trick myself and tell myself, well, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll cut myself down almost. Do you do that too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think you have your good days, you have your hard days.
So it's like learning to hope again.
Learning. I think hope and I think to allow faith.
Yeah.
I have, like, I, as a 7, like, we have this just huge ability to believe so big for people and to hope so big and to put ourselves in these things that are impactful and strong. And, like, it's just we love life-giving.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a really hard time doing it for ourselves. And so I actually got to a place not dealing with it. I'm like, I'm tired of being a 7. Like, I'm just so tired of being
in
this place.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, like, that definition of me was really there. And so now as I'm asking these questions, praying these prayers and allowing some room to let my wings kind of open back up again.
Yeah.
That's the change. That's where the newness comes from. That's where the freedom.
Yeah.
I know we're talking about that ultimately. Well, that's where freedom comes.
It's, again, literally God redefining you. And, I mean, Dr. Molly was talking about this before you, too. But he was saying it's kind of taking you back to your childlike self.
Yeah.
Before all the jadedness, before all the pain, really.
Yeah.
And bringing yourself back to that innocent person.
Yeah.
Who just wanted to probably, one, have fun, two, to love people and, like, appreciate life. Yeah. And I'm learning that in my own journey, too. When you can get back to that place of who you truly are before the world kind of defines you and becomes you.
Yeah.
Becoming your childlike self again is just so important, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Yeah.
And a puppy will help you.
Yeah. That's so true.
I was like running around the dog. Makes running you play again. Back and forth with the dog. Yeah. I'm like, this is actually good.
Yeah, she must make you play a ton.
A ton.
Yeah.
And she knows when, like, I get on the phone, she'll start biting at the phone. Like, she's not interested. She keeps me present. And that's the beauty of the childlike piece, is there's such a present and the ability to enjoy the present moment, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we take on the weight of the world probably as soon as we hit our teens in that season. And then college comes in 20s and mid-20s, the first job, and late 20s. And you start to settle into career. And this is – but, like, we do forget the present because we're already thinking about the next season before it arrives. And so that is – that's the goal right now, is just be present and celebrate what it is.
Totally.
Not what it's not. Not what you hope – maybe what it will be, but, like, just hopeful in the right now. Like, this is great. Like,
totally.
This is a hopeful moment. This is a faith-filled moment of a beautiful life.
And it's significant.
It is significant. It means something. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's good. Someone kept saying, well, they have a tattoo that literally says, "This is significant." Someone I had on my podcast. And
cool.
I was like, that is so powerful, because she felt like God was reminding her of every season in her life, this is significant.
That's good.
And
it's good.
Something that I have really learned that's super powerful too lately is, we're talking about sort of being you in all minutes of your life almost, like just being you and not striving.
Yeah.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I'm learning from other people is when you do that, you are actually leading people, and you're leading people more strongly than you are when you're trying to be something that you're not. Like, I think we look at leaders and we think they're these big, strong, motivating people that talk a lot of talk, but they're not. They're inspiring people maybe, but they're not, like, showing people, hey, this is how you should be living your life. And I'm learning in my Connect group, actually, that there are a few girls that literally just bring themselves as they are every single time, and they just start bawling every time. And it has really shown me the power of, they lead other people, literally everyone else in the group starts crying about their own lives, because these girls are leading them in the sense of, I'm going to bring my stuff here and I'm just going to be as I should be in the moment. And then everyone else is like, whoa, it's that domino effect where, because one person is doing it, the rest of them are too.
It's good. It's good.
So,
and there's such freedom. I think, I don't know why we try to so cover up who we are, really.
Yeah.
And maybe it's
truth,
that, you know, consistent of, you have to look a certain way, you have to be a certain part, you have to have this many followers, you have to wear these clothes. I mean, there's so many things that are reinforcing it every day of who you are isn't enough. And yet you have a moment like you just spoke of where there's just room given to just be.
Yeah.
And everybody wants that.
And that's when I'm the most inspired, is when I see people literally just broken in their tears. And I'm like,
this good.
Is what life is, I think, supposed to be.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's so powerful.
Just wide open.
Yeah.
Let the river flow.
So who would you say Lindsay Blaze is now that you are beginning to unlock your freedom? And I guess, well, really within the last week.
Yeah, it's been like two
weeks,
guys.
This is, you this have is totally fresh, unlocked
this,
your freedom,
yeah,
though.
This is,
hey,
this
I
is
love
happening.
A fresh podcast.
This is a very fresh podcast. Lindsay Blaze is present.
That's huge.
Present to herself.
Yeah.
And I've been present to others for a long time, but by being fully present to myself, it allows me to be fully present to others too.
Even more so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Yeah.
In a way. And so I don't really have a plan right now.
Love that.
I'm here.
Yeah. Yes.
Would normally, and we and I talked about the being a bazillion steps ahead of everything and mm-hmm. figuring out the next move. And also for me, I'm a huge fixer. So if it doesn't, if it's not perfect, I'll find a way. But there's an exhaustion that I've finally come to end of myself. Mm-hmm. So I literally do not have a plan.
Yeah.
Like I know continue to work really hard with the job that I have. Mm-hmm. I love what I do.
Yeah.
And I love the people that it brings you to. I mean, we're like, this is how we know each other
now. I know, it's crazy.
I'll never forget the first day it came out. It was good.
Yes.
I'm like, she's going to be cool.
I think, well, you've helped me to cry in that office many times.
And we've laughed. And we've wondered. And we've been like, what the?
But yeah, we've been like, people suck.
But we love y'all.
We love people and hate them at the same time.
And they're like, really, what's wrong with us?
True. True.
But yeah, so it's. You keep going with what you know to do, and you do it to the best that you have. And then what you don't know to do, it'll come.
Mm-hmm.
It always does. It hasn't not yet, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can sit here and honestly say that 32. It hasn't not yet come.
Totally.
It just comes in different forms and different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, what would you say to someone like me who is also in this season of life where, I mean, I've been – single since I was in eighth grade.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, wild. Which I can't say I'm, like, depressed about because I do prefer being single right now. But I do – I'm starting to get more into a place where I want to eventually, like, be settling down, have a family, have kids, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I'm, like, it's really starting to hit me right now, timing, because fortunately most of my friends actually, like, since I moved to Nashville, it seems like most of my friends – I've kind of been in a similar boat in life.
That's
and
cool.
Like, they don't value relationships as the number one thing, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But now those people are starting to get into very serious relationships. So I'm like, oh, shoot, it's starting to hit me, essentially. So what would you say to someone like me who there is shame in being single, for sure, but is maybe just entering this season?
I would say this. The stories that are happening around you are that their stories, not your story. And it is, again, the being present to yourself piece of, hey, like, my story is unfolding and it's not going to look like hers or hers or his. And that's okay because theirs is great as it is, as is mine.
Yeah.
Don't get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't start thinking about age or by this time or should be's.
Mm-hmm.
And I think continue to keep pushing yourself to openness more.
Well, we've
spoken.
That's my number one thing.
Because the minute that you shell up or you curl in or you start going, what's wrong with me? And you start trying to protect the pain that's inside. It's so weird that we want to, like, protect it, but we do because we're afraid that if we open it up, like, are we going to get hurt again? Right. Are we going to end up back in this place? Like, there's a vulnerability.
We'll be rejected.
Right.
We think that. Yeah.
But remain open because, like, life, there's a rule.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunities come based on where your openness is.
Yeah.
So I, perfect example, watching everybody else get it, it's because there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
And it just keeps, I gotta let go of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who cares?
Yeah, seriously.
But I would just say, like, know that you're good where you are.
Mm.
That this minute right now, today, is enough.
Yeah.
That there is beauty to be discovered, that there are tears that are meant to be cried, that there is reflection, that there are stories that are meant to be told.
Yeah.
And that's a full life.
Mm.
Like, if we want to really get serious, look at what Jesus did. He walked. He told stories. He asked questions.
Yes.
He looked people in the eye. He retreated to silence.
Yep.
He came back and spoke to thousands. But he did wherever the Father led him.
Yep.
And that's my cry of my heart now, too, in this moment of freedom. Is like, just, Father, where are you leading me?
Mm.
So, and two, the prayers. Pray the aligning prayer of, like, Lord, listen. I would like this, and it would like it to be like this, and sure, all these things are great, but, like, where are you?
Prepare me for it.
Yeah, and what does it look like to align exactly to what you actually have.
Totally.
Because we don't want to miss what it is either.
That's big, yeah. Ooh, that's good, dude.
Dude. Just living it out here.
Yes. No. Seriously.
Thank you.
Thanks. Well, like, seriously, this has probably been, I can think of yours and one other person's whose podcast has been, like, so fresh.
Hmm.
Because the whole point, one of the main points of this podcast is to talk about things as you're going through it,
yeah,
rather than just like, oh, I've totally overcome that. I don't really need to talk about it anymore.
Sure.
So I just, like, want to acknowledge you because I think, yes, it's amazing that literally this is happening, like, 2 weeks ago. And I asked you to be on the podcast farther out than that.
Dude, it's wild. You asked, yeah, for that. And it's funny, you sent me the question,
yeah,
and I was like, I have no idea. and then I just wrote it while I was sitting on the beach,
oh,
on that
so
trip,
cool,
of, like, redefine me to who I am. And
yeah,
I thought, like, there was probably the deepest thinking I did the whole trip was as I was, and it wasn't a long answer, but I was,
yeah,
like, I'm ready to talk about this because this is exactly, like, there's nothing else.
Yeah.
I don't have any shame in anything,
mm-hmm,
else.
Yeah.
Really.
This
it's,
is the thing.
It's this thing that just won't quit or,
yeah,
won't find its answer.
Totally.
But it's also because I haven't been willing to find my healing.
Hmm.
And now here it is.
And the more you talk about it,
yeah,
the more you heal.
Yeah. And the owning.
Mm-hmm.
The owning of it, that our stories aren't, they don't make perfect sense.
No.
I think there is that wonderful piece of he works it all for good.
Yeah.
And whether that comes immediately after something or years down the road, I know that God is faithful in that for,
yeah,
us, and that he will be faithful to all that,
totally,
I have just shared, because he can't not, he can't,
yeah,
lie. But it is a process,
mm-hmm,
right? And it's,
totally,
the embracing of it. And I wouldn't have been ready a month ago to talk about this.
Yeah.
Like, this is not something I would want anybody to hear except for maybe,
yeah,
you, who I've sat with,
right,
these few times at the office.
Oh, absolutely.
Or just the few, but, like, to say I believe 5 years for a man that, like, somebody else told me about,
yeah,
and, like, fully went in on that, that's a little crazy.
It is crazy.
And yet, here I am, and it's pushing me through the thing that has always been, which is the hurt and is,
yeah,
the, like, fear of if I actually shared where I really am,
mm-hmm,
what would people think, or,
yeah,
what would
what
God
would happen?
Think, right?
Yeah.
And so it does all work together for,
yeah,
good.
Well, and just after having, like, so much shame about the things that I've gone through in life,
mm,
the biggest thing that I have just come to realize is that, yes, a lot of this feels so dark, but your story is never too dark to share because there's always a light that's within it.
That's good.
And it's going to beam right through everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing that, like, I've just learned doing this podcast is your story has a light to it, and it may feel dark and it may feel heavy, but there's so much light that will be brought through it when
that's
you
good.
Just start sharing it.
That's good.
So
thanks, girl.
Okay. So what would you say is, like, one maybe Bible verse, inspirational quote, or a person's story who's really resonated with yours personally?
So a favorite quote recently is this. It's by my pastor, J.D. Ost.
Yes.
He said, what looks like a wound in one season will look like worth in the next.
That's right.
Ugh. Bye. Like, done. Mic dropped.
Mic drop.
We're done.
If you could drop this,
yeah,
mic.
It would be dropped.
It would be dropped.
Dude,
that's so good.
Yeah. It'll look like worth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the principle of
so
it.
So it's
is,
worth it
it's
to
worth
go through it.
And it's not all for nothing.
Yeah.
It's not to
it's
be
not.
Left out to dry. It's not to be forlorn.
Mm-hmm.
It will be worth it.
Oh, so yes. I love that.
Let's get it.
Yep. I freaking love that. And then where can people find you on social media?
I am at Lindsay Blaze. You spell
Sick.
My name with an A, and my last name is spelt like Blaze like a fire.
Yeah.
I don't really do Twitter.
Kay.
I'm on Facebook, kind of. There's a lot of pictures of my dog happening. And Molly.
And go follow the dog.
Go follow Dog Blue, the boxer bulldog. She is
on Instagram.
Her life.
We'll not tag it. Is that the word? We'll tag it.
We'll
whatever.
Do something. Yeah, we'll put up like a
we'll
picture of
it.
Blue just because of this
yes.
whole conversation.
I should have Blue on the podcast.
We'll just like put her in right here.
Yes.
Oh,
hey, that'd
good.
Be great.
Thanks though, dude.
No, thank
that's
you.
Awesome.